about growing up in a small town are resonating with anybody that grew up in a small town. So wherever you are in the Beaver Valley or the surrounding area, or even further than that, if you grew up in a small town, I've heard from people that grew up in small towns in Rhode Island and everything, and they said that was my experience. And I got some really nice reviews. I was surprised. Of course, I felt like people from Midland would appreciate it. Of course, my family would be kind and appreciate it. But words from a reviewer from Primo Magazine, he said this. He said, descriptions of growing up in Midland during the 60s and 70s are particularly compelling, capturing the essence of a community shaped by hard work, resilience, and patriotism. Whoa. Now, how many towns in the Beaver Valley would say, hey, that's not just Midland, that's me? And then he goes on to say, readers will find themselves immersed in the sights, sounds, and emotions of the area, fostering a deep connection to the characters and their experiences. So I think this is really more for everyone just than for people from Midland.
Well, to set your background, and I agree 100%, you graduated from Midland High School in 1973, went on to get your Bachelor of Science from University of Pittsburgh, an MBA from Houston Christian University. Spent 43 years with Procter & Gamble, so you've done a lot, you've seen a lot. But talk about how Midland kind of informed your career and how you kind of, you know, the outgrowth from going to school in Midland, what did that do for you professionally?
Well, it did a lot. And here's the big picture as I see it, okay? We enjoy the benefit of hindsight. Okay, we could look back with certainty at a journey that our ancestors, when they first came to Beaver Valley from wherever they came from, they undertook this journey with great uncertainty and with barely a fourth grade education, all right? Today, generations later, we stand on their shoulders and we're enjoying the view that they had only dreamed of. And I believe we owe them a debt of gratitude that we can never repay. And that's why I wrote this book, The Love of San Demetrio, and I look at it as simply a down payment. And doing things like donating copies of the book to, you know, museums and universities and cultural societies and the Lincoln Park Performing Arts Center and the Carnegie Library in Midland is just part of that down payment. And then you say, okay, well, how do they do it? I think that there are some timeless values that are carried by everyone from the Beaver Valley. And the one you can mention several timeless virtues, but I would say love, faith, and unwavering perseverance. Now, some might call it stubbornness, but I call it perseverance. And I think that's something that we as people from the Beaver Valley carry through with us all through our life. And it helps us through the tough times, and it helps us to appreciate the good times in our life.
Well, when you would have been in junior high in Midland, that was about the time they were the best basketball team in all of Pennsylvania, the Midland Leopards. And people, that legacy of Midland basketball is something that 60 years later, people still talk about. What do you remember about that?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I do talk about that in my book. And part of it that I talk about is how, as a young boy, I absolutely hated, with a capital H, winter. Okay? I loved the summer in Midland and being in the pool, and I talk about that, and I talk about all the games we played at night and all the games we played at day, and people will appreciate that. But I hated winter. But what got me through it was Midland basketball, being able to go to a game every Tuesday night and Friday night got me through it, and it's just something that I really cherish about my experience in Midland.
And I should point out, you now live in Central Florida, so you upheld that idea. You didn't like winter.
No, I didn't. And surprisingly, of course, my last name, Bruno, obviously, Italian on that side.
Ah.
But my mother's maiden name is Orlando.
Oh,
you've got an Orlando living in Orlando. And that's just one of many coincidences that come out in the book.
Well, back to Midland in the 70s, I remember at that point, Crucible Steel was thriving. My dad worked in Midland for Union Carbide right next to Crucible. And so I remember what it was like as a kid. You'd drive through there on a Friday night, just absolutely hopping. The best fish sandwiches in the world were at that bowling alley there. And people just, you know, it was a different scene than it is now. What do you remember about Midland from like your teenage years, your high school years?
Well, I think a good way to describe that, for me to take a minute and just kind of read just one small paragraph, less than a minute, of the opening chapter, which is growing up in Midland. And I think this sets the stage for what it was like growing up in a small town and then the various adventures that I talk about. So I start with a sense of misty-eyed gratitude, and it still gets me choked up thinking about it. I reflect on the days of my youth and the good fortune of having grown up during the 1960s and early 70s in a small steel town of Midland, Pennsylvania. That's the opening sentence. And how many people could, you know, put their town in the Beaver Valley and say the same thing? My father was part of the generation that had served in World War II and made it through the post-war 50s and early 60s with steady jobs in the mill. They lived in modest homes, we all did, of course, with a sense of optimism that the future would be even brighter for their children. Although it seemed that there were ethnic groups from just about everywhere, and there were in my hometown, we all got along and appreciated the various customs, traditions, and foods, especially, that each group brought to the table. The warm blend of a loving family and close friends ready for an adventure at a moment's notice provided reasons to look forward to every season. And then I take it from there and I talk the seasons and the things that we did and the stuff like that.
Wow. We're speaking with Midland native Lou Bruno, author of The Love of San Demetrio, and you're going to be doing a reading from your book next Sunday, July 5th, in Midland. Talk about that, a 1:30 p.m. Reading.
Yeah, that'll be at 1:30. Of course, the people at the Lincoln Park Performing Arts Center are having an all-Midland reunion and historical exhibit. They're going to have things from basketball and from the Crucible and all kinds of other things, and I'm looking forward to see that. And on Sunday afternoon, they offered me the opportunity, since I have a chapter that's growing up in Midland, and there are several connections throughout the book. They give me an opportunity to give a little presentation that'll last probably just a little bit under 1 hour. I think it'll go quick and it'll be fun. And probably about half of that time will be selected readings of not just the first chapter, but you'll find a Midland theme throughout the book and even to the end. And then also just kind of a brief overview of the storyline. And then, you know, when I'm finished, if anyone would like to have a copy of the book, the books are being sold afterwards, and all of the proceeds are being donated to the Lincoln Park Performing Arts Center.
Ooh, and this is going to be inside Alumni Hall, right behind the Lincoln Park Performing Arts Center. It's part of a big weekend. They're calling it the All Midland Reunion and Historical Exhibit. It's during the 4th of July holiday weekend, so July 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And it'll be open daily between noon and 7 p.m. Free admission, although donations are accepted to help defray the cost of preserving some of these historical pieces. So that's nice. And Midland, one thing I know you remember, Lou, and it's still very much this way, July 4th, people come home to Midland for July 4th. It's like it's just a tradition.
Oh, absolutely. It's a big deal, and it's a lot of fun. And I talk about in the book a lot of the things that I did during those early years. You look at some of the things that you did when you were little and you go, how did I get away with that? How did things not go sideways? But it was like our house was at the end of town, right by the football field. And in the evening, they had a drum and bugle corps competition. And then after that were the fireworks. Well, during the drum and bugle corps competition, me and my buddies, while our parents were on the front porch, we'd go back to the back porch and we'd light off fireworks and bottle rockets. And you remember bottle rockets, basically a firework at the end of a long stick that would shoot like about 20 yards. We would fire those into the stadium to blow up behind the fans. How crazy was that? And we just laughed our heads off having such a good time with people wondering where it was come from. And fortunately, no one ever got hurt. But that's another one of the stories that's in there and just an example of kind of the fun that we all had in Midland growing up and we all had in our small towns in the Beaver Valley. And the source of, gratitude that we have and pride for growing up there.
Well, last year I had the honor of emceeing the July 4th parade in Midland. And it's my first time I'd been there. And people were kind of cautioning me, are you ready for this? This is a long parade. Are you prepared? And it was a long parade. It was fun. And I like everyone was there. Every politician from all over the county, every business you can think of, the Shriners were there. Do you remember some July 4th parades from your youth?
Oh, absolutely. I remember them very well. And certainly the place in the park where you were the MC. And I'm sure you did a great job of that. It was a lot of fun. And what would happen after that, I say in the book that there's three times that on the 4th of July you would be together with your family and your friends. One would be for the parade, okay? The second time would be for, and the rest of the time you're like at the carnival, you're running around, you're, you know, doing things on your own. The second time was for your family meal. At the end of the day. And boy, did people put a lot into those family meals. I remember my dad built a titanium spit that he cooked roasted lamb and chickens on.
Okay.
And I have pictures of that I'll share. So second time was family. And the third time was to ooh and aw at the Midland Fireworks, which for, you know, a small town in the 60s was really, really great. And it was a fun day. And I think the day after the 4th of July this year will be fun, too, for anyone who chooses to come to the Midland Reunion All-Historical Exhibit and listen to the talk.
That's when the gentleman we're speaking with, Midland native Lou Bruno, will be there authoring, reading from and signing copies of his book, The Love of San Demetrio. Now, the book also takes us to Italy, an Italian village. Talk about what we'll discover there.
Well, San Demetrio is the hometown of where my family started from. And part of the storyline of this that makes it unique is that when they first came to America in the 19-teens and settled in Midland, and my grandmother, in 7 years, she had four kids, including, thank God, my father, right? And then the fifth one on the way, my grandfather gets ill. They don't know what to tell him how to get well. They say, go back to Italy, get some fresh air. He goes to do that. Before he leaves, he says, my wife's got four kids and the fifth one on the way, and I'm not going to be back. Asks his best friend if he could watch the youngest one, Rudy, would be my Uncle Rudy. He would have been 18 months old. So they watch him. They agree to watch him. My grandfather goes to Italy, does not return. And then a couple months later, the foreman at the Midland Mill, who really liked my grandfather and liked his best friend, who was now watching my Uncle Rudy, said, hey, why don't you move to Weirton with me? I'm going to be a supervisor down there. I'll take care of you guys. So he moves him to Weirton, 30 miles away. Well, that's only 30 miles. You know, that's close now. But in those days, it's like 1,000 miles away, never to return Rudy to the family.
Whoa.
So that's part of the dynamic that makes this story unique. And I trace his separation from the family through the years, into the time when he's in his 70s, and he and my grandmother write a loving tribute about my grandmother, who actually lived to age 95 as a widow. And then in 2006, after all those people are gone, I go to Italy for the first time.
Ooh.
Thinking that I'm going away. You know, this is a big deal for me. I've never been across the pond, right? I'm nervous about it. And I meet my father's cousin there, with a unique name, Otorino. He's my father's cousin by virtue of the fact that Otorino's father and my father, who died, were brothers. As a matter of fact, his father took care of my grandfather. Well, I go there thinking, I'm going to meet him. I'm going to get to see, you know, where my grandfather was buried and all this other stuff. But what I don't realize and what is so amazing about it is how many things that I saw in San Demetrio that reminded me of Midland. I have a chapter that's called a Visit to San Demetrio and a Walk Down Midland Avenue. And that's partly because when I went through the cemetery and I'm walking through it, you know, I'm used to Beaver Valley Cemetery, right? I have family there, and it's names and dates, and maybe a word or two. But in this one, I'm walking to where the mausoleum is, and I see all these family names, Ulizio, De Prospero, DiMaggio, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, these are the names the last names of all the kids I grew up playing with in Midland.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So here I was thinking that I was leaving Midland and going far away, and the further I got, the closer I got to home. And I'll leave you with this. I was talking to my grade school football coach. I got a hold of him the other day, and he's in his 80s now, and it was a really cute conversation. But one of the things he said really stuck with me. He said, you know, Lou, you can leave Midland, but Midland doesn't leave you. And that's true, and that's part of the theme, and I think it's part of what people will enjoy about this story.
Talking with Lou Bruno. You can listen to him do a reading from his book, and I want to say it right this time, Demetrio. How'd I do?
San Demetrio. You did well.
All right. That'll be
You did better than I did on the first Spelling Bee. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
But we redeemed ourselves, okay? And I'll mention one other thing. For those people who are busy on Sunday and can't make it, I'm also donating my time and speaking the next day at the Carnegie Library in Midland at 2 o'clock on Monday. And that day will be a little bit different. It won't be the same. I have another book that I wrote for grandchildren and for the grandparents that love them. So it's called The Days When Ella Came Down the Stairs. And I'll be reading that story. And I think people can come both days. But if you're not available one day or the other, you can catch me either day. And I think it'd be just a fun time to reminisce and share the fond memories that we all share and the gratitude for growing up in the Beaver Valley.
That will be Monday, July the 6th. You're talking about
at 2 o'clock.
Okay,
yeah.
Excellent. Well, Lou, I want to ask one more question. Talk about Midland in 2026, a very significant year. It's the 120th anniversary of Midland being founded. It's 40 years since Lincoln High School closed. It's 20 years since Lincoln Park opened. So a lot of history there. What are your current thoughts about Midland and you know, where it's been, where it's going, and you know, what do you look forward to most about coming back?
Well, that's a great question, Scott. And I think that comes back to what I talk about is the timeless values of families in the Beaver County and the spirit of Midland and the spirit of Beaver County. And I remember I said faith, love, and unwavering perseverance. So here you have a town in 1985. You know, the mill's closed, the revenue's not coming in, the attendance is down, and the school closed. Well, for some places, it would be all over. But look what came from that, okay? You talked about the state championships that we had in Midland in the 70s and 80s, and we did, and we enjoyed those. Well, now we have Lincoln Park, and they're back, and they're winning state championships. So I think that it is a testament to the positive attitude and the resilience, you know, unwavering perseverance, or, you know, like I said, you might call it stubbornness, but just never giving up on things, never giving up on life, and always looking for a ways to make, you know, turn lemons into lemonade and make things better. So I've been to the Performing Arts Center a couple times. It's a tremendous thing. And, you know, I appreciate that all the people, the things that all the people in Midland are doing to keep Midland alive and keep it alive. The Midland's, you know, 4th of July committee and all those people doing a great job. And I just think it's part of resilience and it's a positive thing. And I couldn't be more happy to play a small part in it.
Well, Lou, we appreciate you. Lou Bruno, a writer commemorating Midland and coming back to celebrate it. So one more time, it'll be 1:30 p.m. July 5th. Lou Bruno, author of The Love of San Demetrio, will be signing books, reading from his book right there at Alumni Hall in Midland, part of the All Midland Reunion and Historical Exhibit, July 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Lou, looking forward to having you back in town.
Thank you, and please don't wait another 60 years to have me on because I might not be here.
I got faith. We'll definitely do it soon. A lot of fun talking to you. Looking forward to
Thank
reading the book,
Scott,
too.
Really
All right, you take care. That was Lou Bruno joining us. Stay there. NOAA's news coming up in just a couple minutes.
We're Beaver County Radio, 1230 WBVP Beaver Falls, 1460 WMBA Ambridge, and all.